The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Lovely Sunday night where we have our Black Thought Live Sunday. It is April the 10th, 2 days before my birthday. April 10th, 2016, exactly 2 days before my birthday. So do not forget to send your donations to me at the Lotus Place Radio Show. And also send in your donations to keep us live here at Black Talk Radio Network. Send your donations in. Just log into the page so that we can keep bringing you this live information, hot conversation, keeping you up to date on what's going on in your community, your world, the Black world, community news, keeping you informed. Tonight it is Black Thought Sunday Live, Afro Consciousness and Transformation. Getting ourselves together. We are into the fourth month of the year, and for those of you that made, say, New Year's resolutions or statements or affirmations in regards to your life, we want to know where you are. How are things going? How's that working out for you? On the table tonight, exposing environmental racism and destroying the school-to-prison pipeline still. We're having that conversation. I think we should have those conversations at the dinner table on a regular basis. And also, let's just add to that, to augment that conversation, should we choose homeschooling, charter schools, public or private schools? The choices. If you could do it all over again, would you send your child to, say, a private school? Or did you send your child to a private school and you would like to send them to a you think maybe you should have sent them to a public school? Charter schools are just about everywhere now. And let's see here. Who is that? It's Kasich, Governor Kasich in Ohio, who's a presidential candidate, 2016. Let me see. Let me make sure I have the story together. So the person that's actually running his campaign now is the spouse of the person that was over the charter school nightmare in Ohio. So that's kind of interesting. So many things are popping up with charter schools. They're not regulated the same. The money doesn't follow the students, is what some of the people who are against charter schools actually state about the charter school and the way that the children are not actually being cared for and taught as they should be in public school or stay homeschooling. Now, me, I would prefer to homeschool my child. What would you want to do, or what are you doing? What would you like to do? Are you changing based on? I know, like this week, there was another little young lady in San Antonio. I don't know if it made a mainstream news, but this young lady in young girl in San Antonio at a high school, another officer grabbed this girl, threw her on the ground, face down, and handcuffed her. there's no way in the world, no way, no way I can have my children subjected to such violence where they're supposed to be protected and taught. No, couldn't do it. No. Another question. Do black people care enough for themselves and others in order to really make a change? You know, people talk a good talk, but can they walk their walk also? So tune in tonight, and we want you to call in 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And we are talking about Afro-consciousness tonight and transforming your life, transformation. So let's see. Hey, welcome in, King B. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, fine. Yourself?
I'm well.
Who's with us beside you and I?
Well, we have some people on the line. I actually need to take this caller, so let's see here.
Yeah.
Delta hasn't joined us. Okay, we just lost our caller. Sorry about that caller. They were waiting. So, yes, Delta hasn't joined us yet. So, how are you, King B? What's going on? You see Bernie Sanders won in Wyoming?
Yeah, and he came to Coney Island. There a big crowd there, Coney Island. And then, you know, the Clintons, they hustle these black churches. And it's just so sad that these deaf, dumb, and blind members of these churches consider this woman and Clinton like the messiahs. You know?
Yes.
So she hustled at the Abyssinian church. Well, I don't forget, which is the Adelphian Bible Church. Who put that church on the map for sure? Then you had a church called Antioch Church, which is also in Harlem. And then she went to Queens to Floyd Flake's church, which is called Greater Allen Cathedral. Yeah, and
Greater Allen Cathedral.
Yeah, in Jamaica, Queens. Mm-hmm. It used to be Allen AME Church, but they built this rinky dink, a place called Greater Allen Cathedral, costing $28 million. And where the money went, because when you see the building, it looks so flim-flam. When you walk inside, it doesn't even look like a church. It looks like a modern, Space Odyssey amphitheater.
Are you serious?
Nothing church about it. That's it. Uh-huh. Not even a genuine pipe organ. They got a keyboard.
Oh,
so you know, you spent
$28 million. Serious arena.
You know, don't even have a genuine pipe organ to set the tone that you have quality music in there. And you know, it's a church that's been long known to be associated with the mafia.
Oh, okay.
I went inside there when it was 3/4 finished, and I saw all these Italian construction workers. So I asked my friend who was an activist up there. I said, "What's with all these Italians inside the building of this church?" He said, "Man, you know that the church has close ties with the mob." The pastor wanted to be the head of this gambling casino that was on the site of the former Aqueduct racetrack. But he didn't have enough juice to carry him over the top. So he lost that bid to be the man running this gambling casino out there on the former racetrack of Aqueduct. But he is one of the biggest, shall we say, ecclesiastical pimps that is truly turbo with the women's panties.
Well, you know what, King B, you should have been on the other night because I played this clip from a lady. Her name is Deborah Cooper, and she authored a book entitled "Women Pray Pray and Men Pray Prey in the Church," something like that.
Yeah.
And I will actually share a clip of her speaking a little bit on that. But let's take a caller. Let's take a call from our caller at 252. How are you? Welcome in.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good. Listen, I first called about when you were speaking of kind of like the white man and the black women marrying.
No, not the show.
No,
I don't think.
Earlier, what were you talking about?
Oh, that was another show. This is a new show. Started at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And this is The Lotus Place. And tonight we're talking about Afro consciousness. a brother on YouTube. I absolutely love his clips. And his YouTube page is called Afro Consciousness. And we're going to talk about black people and consciousness tonight.
Oh, okay. So you talk about, do we, like, care for each other and all that good stuff?
That, too. But
okay, well,
aware,
I don't...
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, well,
being
I don't...
Aware
I don't
of yourself and your history, your culture, how to come out of some of the ways that we've picked up in terms of, like, living in this world full of stress and strain and racism and disenfranchisement, how to come out of that. So we're going to talk about how to come out of the matrix, how to get yourself together. So you should stay tuned in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You know what that means.
All right, King V. Yeah, so let me see. I want to share this quick clip here on, let me see if I can find it. It is on, here we are, Feel the Burn.
Bernie Sanders is counting on his momentum coming out of Wyoming. The little Vermont senator that could appears set to pick up his 8th win in the last 9 contests on Saturday in Wyoming's Democrats caucus. This will be the final electoral showdown between Sanders and Hillary Clinton before New York's crucial primary later this month. Senator Sanders won these recent contests by large and impressive margins, said Jeff Weaver, Sanders' campaign manager, in a statement. As a result, we have cut Secretary Clinton's delegate lead by 101 since March 15th, which amounts to 1/3 of her then-total margin. That dramatic gain leaves us only 214 delegates behind, a margin we can and fully intend to surpass by the conclusion of voting on June 14th.
And that was a quick update from the Wyoming primary. Bernie Sanders won.
Listen, you know, we got to keep the people fully aware, those that are thinking brain left. Even when Hillary loses, she wins because
she wins,
of the compensated super delegates.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders picked up 5 delegates, and so did Hillary in the same compensated state.
Even though she lost.
It's
politics. It's all politics. I'm just hoping
and,
that people either.
In any democracy, it would be considered foul play.
But we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. I keep trying to tell people that.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. I understand this thing was going on since the 1970s with these super delegates, since the 1970s. But with Hillary so not popular at all, and people, young people especially, don't trust her, we're hearing how she wins even when she loses.
Yep.
And if the Democratic, and the Democratic oligarchy were truly Democratic, one man, one vote, then they would have long ago gotten rid of this tactic of rigged election. That's all it is, a rigged election.
That's all it is.
And I only thought that Bernie is talking about it, denouncing it, and to take legal procedure because he could win the popular vote, but because of the delegates, he could still lose.
Still very well.
You know, he's popular. He's very popular more than Hillary. I mean, he's being invited by the Vatican
that doesn't count.
To speak for the Vatican.
That doesn't factor in. Yes.
So you know she's gonna have a royal headache. They didn't ask her to speak before that again. They asked Bernie.
Well, this particular Pope, he's been a little controversial, so he's kind of stepped outside the realms of certain things from my understanding. I'm not a Catholic. I don't practice Catholicism, but Bernie did get invited. That's another news tip, hot news topic. Thank you for that. I'm gonna share this clip on why black people need consciousness, King B. Yeah.
Otep African family, it's Brother Nelson here. I want to welcome you to Afro Consciousness. But why Afro Consciousness? And how can it help to improve your life, your in spiritual, your financial, your social, your intellectual life? Consciousness, brothers and sisters, is power. Consciousness is what gives you power, gives you the power to know yourself, your identity, where you come from, your values, and your morals, and your culture. And if someone wants to take the power away from you, they will try the best to control your consciousness. That's why the media exists. The media exists to control people's consciousness. So what we're doing in this project, we are helping brothers and sisters to improve, to know, and to develop their consciousness. Consciousness is identity. And once you know yourself and you're proud of yourself, of your origins and your culture, you will have enough information to go out in the world and to succeed. You will be able to create a business. You'll be able to become an entrepreneur and be financially independent. Because, brethren, you don't want to spend the rest of your life being financially dependent. Having a mandate to find a job, they can fire you. You can only go to a certain point. You can't go to a higher level because of your race, of your origin, of your culture. So the best way you can create a successful, sustainable business is by developing your power, the power in you, and that consciousness. So every article you read in this website, every content in this website was designed to help you to develop your consciousness. I'm going to share the difference between higher and lower consciousness. Please explore the website and please share the website on your Facebook, on Twitter, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our channel on YouTube. And I promise and I can guarantee you that by the end of the year, you will be a more confident person, a wiser person, a more capable individual, a more powerful person, because you will have total control of your consciousness. Thank you for your time, brethren. Hotep. Hotep, African family, welcome to this lesson dedicated to crime. A few days ago, I was traveling, and I went to the train station. Well, I usually buy my ticket online, and then I collect them at the station. So I bought the ticket online, went to the station, and 10 minutes before the time, the journey. So I went to the ticket. What's up, African family? Welcome to this lesson dedicated to voice and consciousness. Voice and consciousness are two interdependent, interlinked elements. So we have consciousness and we have voice. In order to understand the power of both voice and consciousness, we return to Africa. Because whenever we have a challenge in our lives, the best strategy, the best solution is for us to return to Africa, to the land of our ancestors. And in Africa, we find the original story of creation. And in Africa, in Kemet, my brothers and sisters, we find the atom. Atom is in the sea of darkness, is in deep darkness, but in perfect peace. People tend to associate darkness with terrible things, but atom is in a sea of darkness, the sea of the universe, in complete darkness, the creator. He creates, he starts the process of creation, and he creates two beings, Shu and Tefnut. Atom creates Shu and Tefnut. We are deep in the waters, deep in the waters of darkness, but in perfect peace. Atom gives freedom to his children, Shu and Tefnut. He gives them total freedom for them to do whatever they want to do, for them to play. And they start to play. And they get busy playing. They get distracted. And they touch themselves. They get lost. They move away from the source. So Shu and Tefnut are the children of Atum. They are in the sea of darkness and the universe of darkness. And they are playing. They detach themselves from the creator. They move away from the source. And then at one point, they are lost. So we have loss, my brothers and sisters. So Shu and Tefnut are lost. Atum, he realized that his children, which is the love of his life, he realized that without his children, he won't be happy. He also realized that his children are lost. They are in the midst of darkness, and they don't know how to return. In order to save his children, the love of his life, Shu and Tefnut, Atum remove one of his eyes and he throws it into the sea of darkness. The eyes transforms itself into an eagle and then flies. Finds the children, Shu and Tefnut, creates lights around them, and then he guides them back into the source. We have two children who detach themselves from the creator. They get lost. And then the creator, in love of his children, he removes one of his eyes. He throws into the darkness. The eyes transforms himself into an eagle. He flies, and then he finds the children, illuminates the path, and then he enables the children to return to the source. Atum is the source. His children, they become lost. Well, while the eye which Atum removed is away, another eye grows. And then when the eye returns with the two children, he realizes that there is another eye in its place. He becomes jealous. Then Atum, because he loves the eye, he takes the eye, and then it becomes the eye of consciousness. It becomes the eye that guards the universe. It's the eye of consciousness. And then my brothers, my sisters, this is deep psychology. We're going deep into Africa, into the first and original story of creation. This is 10,000 years before the Bible was written. Took many years to be developed. And this is where every single religious book comes from. Every single religious book tells the story of, in the beginning, there was a void, there was darkness, and then the creator, and then the process of creation started. But then in Africa, we find the original story. And then this story is also the story of our lives, of my life and your life. I have lost my parents. I have lost friends. I have lost enthusiasm sometimes. In order to find what I've lost, I have to use my consciousness to reconnect with my ancestors who have gone to the West, who have passed away. I have to use my consciousness to recover what I've lost. And sometimes it's my imagination. Sometimes it's the will to get going. Sometimes it's the strength. It is, and you, my brothers and sisters, it is very possible that you've lost something. You live in a universe that hates black people. And then the universe is controlled by a media. And the media is a very aggressive tool, is a very aggressive weapon used to separate you and your consciousness, to separate you and your talent, to separate you and your brothers and sisters. The media is a tool. Conventional education is a tool. Religion is a tool that has been used to separate you from your ancestors. Religion separates families, creates conflicts amongst family. The media uses propaganda, uses negative images of black men and black women in order to separate them from the source, from their own talent, from their own peace and freedom. The media has been used and is used to separate you and your freedom and your personal space, your spirituality. And then it is very possible that you've lost something, my brothers and sisters. And then in order to find your voice, we are talking about voice. So we have voice and consciousness. The media silenced your voice and the voices of many black men and black women. I silenced the voice of beautiful people by being very aggressive. by selling terrorism, by selling negative images, by selling lies and an artificial story of black people. He silenced the voice. Like the children of Atum, many people, many black men and many black women are losing. They're losing their voice. So the voice become lost. And my brothers, my sisters, whether it's your voice, whether it's your consciousness, whether it's your intelligence, whether it's your talent, whether it's your will to live, whether our friends or relatives, you have lost something. The best way for you to recover what you've lost is through your consciousness, like the creator. Because what our ancestors are telling us is that you are the supreme creator, and then you have the power to recover what you've lost. But in order to do that, you have to use your consciousness. Because in the original story, we have Atum, who lost his two children, Shu and Tefnut. We have a male and a female, two children, one energy that was lost. It was treasure. And then in order to recover the treasure, Atum used the eye, used the consciousness. And that's why you have the eye of Heru. That's why you have the subject of consciousness, because it's powerful. Whatever you've lost in your life, maybe it's your finance, maybe it's your peace, maybe it's your tranquility, maybe it's the love of life, maybe it's your loved one, maybe it's your friend, maybe it's the will to do something, maybe it's the desire, maybe it's the belief. In order to recover what you've lost, you have to use your consciousness. Because our ancestors, they tell us that in the original story of creation, Atum, the supreme creator, he lost his two children, Shu and Tefnut. And then he used his eye to throw into the sea of darkness. And the eye was the eye of consciousness. The eye was able to recover what was lost. It is very possible that you have lost your voice, the voice to express yourself, maybe the courage to express yourself, or to tell your friends, or to help your friends. Maybe you've lost the power inside you, your talent. You stop doing something and you have lost something, and you don't know how to get back into your youth, into your golden days of your creation. You can do it, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what you've lost. You can recover using your consciousness. Consciousness and voice, they are two interdependent elements. When you improve your consciousness, when you increase the quality of your consciousness, you also increase the quality of your power, also increase the power of your voice. You can use a website, you can use a blog, you can use YouTube, you can use music to express yourself. That's your voice. But then your voice has to be connected to your consciousness. So whatever you have lost can be your voice, can be your consciousness. It could be talent. Maybe you've lost talent. Maybe you've lost a friend. Maybe you've lost your financial freedom. You can recover what you've lost. You can get it back using your consciousness. Because in the original story, Atum lost his two children and then he used consciousness. So my brothers, my sisters, in the next few weeks, I will introduce you to books that will enable you to increase the power of your consciousness. That's the first strategy. If you want to gain financial independence, if you want to have money to pay for your bills or to help your children, to help your friends, to help your families, you need to become an entrepreneur. And then before you become an entrepreneur, you increase the quality of your consciousness. If it's a talent that you've lost because you stopped doing it, maybe it's to play music at the piano, maybe it's to drawing, maybe it's writing. You want to write, but you don't know where to start. It's consciousness. You can recover what you've lost using your consciousness. This is the message of our ancestors. You can recover your talent. You can recover your financial independence. You can recover the love of life, your voice, using your consciousness. My brothers, my sisters, I am very grateful for your time. Please feel free to leave your comments. I'll do my best to reply. Hotep African family.
All right. Recover your consciousness, King B. Recover.
Yeah, he said a whole lot.
Consciousness gives you your power. And the media takes away. It separates us from our source and separates us from our voice and our consciousness. Because we get caught up so much in so much of the media, the propaganda and the rhetoric, and it just destroys us. It destroys our thinking in many cases, I believe, King B.
Yeah, if you believe what you see on the TV as being news, they've got you. Because you got to now, long ago, but now it's more so now than ever before today, you have to check out alternative information.
Yes, you do.
And our people are so deaf, dumb, and blind, they don't care to do that. They want to let the white man do their thinking for them. And as the white man said so, as Richard Price said, white man said so, must be true.
Must be true.
Must be true.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that's how many people view things instead of just maybe researching it for themselves, maybe taking a class, becoming more involved with another group. Let's take a quick break, Kent, and we will pick right back up. You're listening to the Lotus Place Radio, and we will be right back when we want to hear from you.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And we are back here at the Lotus Place, and also on the table, charter schools versus public schools, private schools, or homeschooling. King B, if you could do it all over again, what would you do? Would you send your children to, say, a public school or a charter school or homeschool them? And what do you think would have worked best for you? Because I think you went to a private school.
Yes. My mother, she didn't like the public school even back then in the early 50s. They were already considered bad news. So even though I was not about to become converted to Catholicism, she had me and my brother and sister, all three of us, going to a school that didn't like black children, especially if it was a non-Catholic. And the white racist nuns had this thing where they pit black children against black children. The black children who were not Catholic, they were preyed upon by the Catholic kids, set up by the nuns. But as far as if I had a choice, my children, I would send them to a functional public school. Yeah. Most of the public schools in the poor areas that has this very, very lousy, I call it toxic education system. They teach children no incense to know that they are somebody. And they must strive to always be somebody, to be a credit to not only to the race, but to believe in themselves. A lot of these children are taught early on, don't believe in yourself.
Right. And that's a part of black consciousness.
Yes.
Knowing yourself, knowing who you are, knowing your culture, your heritage, your lineage, your accomplishments.
Yes.
And the public school system completely avoids teaching us about our history and teaching us about our accomplishments and so much about us, just everything. I mean, in school, our history started with the Mayflower and plantations. It's ridiculous.
And slavery wasn't too bad. We brought them from savagery to civilization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were civilized. they were made, the crazy faces made civilized.
Oh.
And they were civilized, got a charge to the slave for being, should have been grateful that they were rescued in Africa. They were rescued. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Speaking of which, I want to share this one on the Candaces. The Candaces, well, I'll just let this brother speak. This is a part of our Black consciousness. I'm becoming a little more aware of our accomplishments and who we are, things that we've, many different things that we've done in
the Candace,
our ancestors.
Commonly referred to as Candace. And it's kind of funny, we read history. History speaks to these great queens of Maryland. And every queen, they refer to as Candace. Like, well, wow, how many Candaces were there? Was the Candace that, what, the Romans in 24 BC? Was the Candace that was ready for her troops to fight Alexander when he was, after Alexander conquered the Persian Empire, which Egypt encompassed at that time, which was in 330 BC? So which Candace was referring to? When we come to find out, when we look at the language, understand what the word Kinda came, which was misinterpreted as Candace, we understand that that's the word in Meroitic for queen. So they were just saying queen, as opposed to the name of an individual. Historically, we look at the kingdom of Meroe. Meroe does not really begin to thrive until about the 4th century BC. Around the 300 and something BC period, up until about 300 AD. So about 600 years, Meroe thrives as a great, great civilization. Before Meroe, again, we had Napata. Napata began to merge around the turn of maybe the 9th century BC, up until somewhere around the 4th century, when the kingdom begins to move south. There's actually accounts or records, if you will, of Meroe and Napata existing simultaneously. It's really unsure of when actually one ended and when the other one began. We know around the time of the 4th century, the power space or the influx moves south. But I believe that Napata was always reverenced perhaps as the great, not because only because the ancestors were there, but also the great temple of Tumon, the holy mountain of Jibabu, was there, the temple of Amun. And that was the seat of power, not the seat of action, but the unfortunate seat of God. So now there was a Meroe at that time. I believe the Meroes would have made their pilgrimages north to Napata, not only to commune with their ancestors, but to be where it actually all began.
Kandaki, also known as Candace, was the title for queens and queen mothers of the ancient African empire of Kush, aka Nubia. The name Candace and its variants derived from the title Kandaki. There were several Kandakis, but today we will examine Kandaki of Meroe. In 332 BC, Alexander the Great attempted to conquer Kush. Therefore, Kandaki of Meroe arranged her army strategically to meet him and was present on her war elephant when he approached. She placed her armies and waited for the Macedonian conqueror to appear for battle. Alexander approached the field, and when he saw Kandaki's army displayed in such brilliant military formation, he stopped. After studying the array of warriors waiting with such deadly precision and realizing that to challenge Kandaki could quite possibly be fatal, he turned his armies away.
Next we have the Nubian queen, Amane Ra. Powerful Nubian queen known as Wore, meaning ruler, and more importantly, Kandake, a queen mother, are a key feature of ancient Nubian society. Interestingly, the word Kandake was altered into the name Candace in English. One of the most powerful Kandakes was Queen Amane Ra. In 24 BC, Nubia was threatened by the Roman Empire. Egypt was already under the subjugation of Rome, and the Nubians were constantly raiding their Egyptian neighbors. On one of these journeys, the Queen Amane Ra was confronted. She led her armies into battle and defeated three Roman cohorts. In addition, She defaced a statue of the Roman Emperor Augustus Caesar. She brought the head back to Nubia as a prize, where it was buried in the doorway of an important building as an affront to the Roman king. During the battle, Imanirenus lost an eye. The one-eyed Candace, as the then Roman governor Gaius Petronius now referred to, was pushed by the Romans far into her own territory. Rome and Nubia carefully negotiated the treaty, but the queen would intentionally violate it just a few years later. Queen Imanirenus was one of the most powerful queens and military tacticians. Now the spotlight is on you.
Not only kings are buried in the pyramids of Meroe. After the 3rd century BC, a series of strong queens occupied the throne and may have been co-regents. One of the most powerful ruled near the time of Christ, just before the Temple of Dangeel was probably constructed.
Manisheketa is a really powerful Nubian queen. She's carrying bows and arrows. These are traditionally the accoutrements of a man. She's got prisoners tied up. There's a good possibility that she actually fought off the Romans.
In 23 BC, Roman soldiers attacked the Nubian kingdom. According to their accounts, the Nubian resistance was led by a valiant woman, blind in one eye, who scholars believe may be Amanishaketo. The queen successfully stopped the Romans from overtaking her kingdom, and even brokered a favorable peace treaty. Though faint, traces of Amanishaketo's imposing figure can still be seen on the walls of her offering chapel.
She's a larger woman, so it shows how powerful she is. It's also part of the Meroitic impression of beauty. She's well-fed. She's wearing a lot of bracelets on her arms, rings on her fingers. She would have been covered in gold. She was a very lucky lady to have a lot of this jewelry.
Amanishaketo's royal cash first came to light in 1834 when an Italian explorer, Giuseppe Ferlini, traveled to the Sudan, eager, as he claimed, to make some useful contribution to history. In fact, he was really searching for gold. Ferlini hoped to make a fortune selling antiquities back in Europe. His greed led him to the pyramid fields of Meroe. According to his diary, Ferlini directed his workmen to dismantle Amanishaketo's tomb at nearly 100 feet high, one of the best preserved in the cemetery. While his men labored under the punishing rays of the desert sun, Ferlini took it easy in the shade. The excitement began when a faithful servant summoned him from the top of the pyramid.
I got up and raced over, my heart filled with hopes of some delightful adventure.
At the summit, Ferlini reported that his men had discovered a chamber hidden beneath the stones. From within emerged a bronze bowl filled with objects wrapped in cloths of linen. Ferlini had hit the jackpot.
As it became evening, I brought the discovered object to my tent, and after all the servants had given over to sleep, I pulled out the precious objects and studied them with my soul filled with joy. I admired the gold, and on seeing the quantity of it, I realized it had to exceed greatly all that which I knew was free through the museums of Europe.
Ferlini had discovered a dazzling hoard of jewels. Today, much of this cash is housed in Munich's Egyptian Museum. Gold bracelets covered with decorative bands of fused glass. Ornamental pendants bearing images of the gods. And dozens of heavy gold rings, some incised with the figure of Amun.
This is one of the greatest treasures ever found in Nubia. It gives us a very good idea of what the kings and the queens would have been wearing at the time.
Though Ferlini's raid did bring the incredible cache to light, a price was paid for the discovery. the explorer's ruthless quest for gold destroyed Amanjigeto's pyramid.
This is the top corner of an altar.
From there, they would have visited many of the most important temples in their kingdom, like Dangeo, to be crowned ceremonially by Amun.
A Manitori and Natakaman approached the temple, Dangeo, by boat, sailing up the Nile. And then they would have headed towards the main sanctuary.
The Amun temple complex would have appeared like a mirage on the horizon.
And then as you approached the temple, there would have been two massive doors blocking your entrance, hiding the secrets inside.
Led by the high priests, Queen Amanitori and King Natakamani would enter the temple, followed by their courtiers, and proceed to the inner sanctuary.
They would lift incense up, so the place would be smoky and smelling of frankincense. They would have made offerings to the god Amun. And then the priests of Amun, speaking for the god Amun, would have indicated who the successor, who the next king was going to be. And then the crowning would take place. The king is officially crowned by Amun. So presumably that would be by his representative, the high priest of Amun.
Though access to the inner sanctuaries was restricted to priests and royalty, other parts of the temple were open to pilgrims from more humble backgrounds.
We found a footprint inscribed in the paving stones of the first court. It's graffiti that's been left by a pilgrim who came to visit the temple. This would show the god and other pilgrims that this person had come to visit the temple. It's a very human thing. It's something that somebody actually came and did as an act of personal piety, as an act of faith. It's very easy to get stuck in the material and the columns and the paving stones. This is a nice reminder because as an archaeologist, it shows us that people actually visited the temple and they actually worshipped here and it was part of their everyday life.
And that was a very, very interesting clip on the candy cave. I've actually been pronouncing that incorrectly. I've been saying the Candace, but it's candy cave, King B, just like K and King B, candy cave. Our queen mothers of ancient times. Found it quite interesting. What about you? Call in and share your thoughts, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. We want to hear from you. And also still exposing environmental racism in Flint. Hey, King B, any updates with the Flint situation? Were the water bills ever abolished? I know that there were some subsidies, but they shouldn't have to pay anything for their water. I think we lost King B. Okay, so I have this one now. I thought that this was a very good clip by the brother from Afro Consciousness. Check out their website, too. How to Become an Author. Very, very, very useful website. I need to go on there myself and just see what I can sign up for. Also, Udemy, has anybody downloaded that Udemy app? I love that app. All the courses that you can take for like, oh my God, $10, $5, some are free, some are $100. I mean, everything from web design to how to make a smoothie, how to start a book, how to start a business, start a WordPress page. The classes, you'll be emailed like various classes that are being offered for free or promotionals, things like that. Check that app out. I love it. I've actually signed up for several classes, and I need to sit down and go through some of these classes so that I can sign up for some more. But in the interim, back to our topic, Afro-consciousness. Why do Black people need consciousness? So that you can be connected to the source and come out of this, what I call the lock on your brain and being in the matrix. So let's see. Let's get out of this matrix. Let's get out of the matrix. And also, let's get out of debt. I love this one that he has on how to get out of debt. But before we go into that, let me see. I think that this is the one I would like to share. Let's just see. And here we are.
Hotep, African sisters, African brothers, wonderful African family. Welcome to this class dedicated to how to understand the matrix, how to understand how. Before I start this lesson, I will ask our ancestors the permission to talk, the permission to deliver this lesson to my brothers and my sisters. Hotep, Dua Nechiru. You might wonder why I always do this, why I spend few seconds asking for the permission. It's because the information we're dealing with is deep, deep information. It took millions of years to produce this information. We need to recognize the source. African people who have died, our ancestors, they created this information. And then for me to take my time to ask for permission is a sign of respect, sign of recognition. And it's very important. I'm not doing this to waste your time. I'm doing this to recognize the source. Africa is deep. This is deep spiritual. And it inspires me, it helps me to deliver great content because I recognize the source. You have to recognize your ancestors and do your best to teach the knowledge, the wisdom of your ancestors. Today, we're going to look at how to understand the matrix. The previous lesson explains what is the matrix. The previous lesson explains what the matrix is. This one helps you to understand the matrix. And whenever you have a question, you want to find an answer, whether it's biology, whether it's food, whether it's mathematics, whether it's finance, whether it's emotion, whether it's family, whether it's society, you go back to Africa. Africa, here. K-A, the soul of Ra, here. So you go back to Africa in order to understand. If you want to understand yourself, if you want to understand your world, if you want to understand your friends, your relatives, if you want to understand the behavior of a civilization, let's say the Europeans, the Asiatics, the Chinese, the Arabs, or the Jewish people who are Europeans, you need to look into Africa. You can see the actions, the behavior towards Africans, and there you will see the origins of the psychology. So whenever you want to clarify something in your life, you go back to Africa. In Africa, you find in Ghana, in Kush, in Nigeria, in Kemet. You find one of the most advanced civilizations in the history of the world. Kemet is a child of Africa. White supremacists, they will try to persuade you that they are people of Kemet. They will say, we are the Egyptians. The Egyptians are white people. No, but that's mental insanity. And if we're trying to understand here the origins of the matrix, is connected to the idea of stealing one's identity. Now, how do you understand the matrix? you go back to Africa. In Africa, you go back to Kemet. In Kemet, you will find the understanding. The highest level of understanding comes from Kemet. In Kemet, my brothers and sisters, we find two brothers, Aussar, Set. Aussar, Set are two brothers. They are the grandchildren of Atum, the supreme creator. Aussar is the prince, the inventor of agriculture. Very, very successful. He is the king. He's married to Auset, a beautiful black woman. The entire history of the black family can be traced in here. These two individuals. We can also include Set, but to understand your family, to understand the behavior of your mother, to understand the behavior of your father, you look into the story of Auset and Auset. To understand your family, family planning, to plan your family, you look into the story of Auset and Auset. You also look to Set. Set is important. We have Aussar and Set. Apologies. This is Set. We have Aussar and Set. So Aussar is the king. Set is his brother. He's jealous. He's jealous of his brother. He invites him into a party. He sets him into a trap. He deceives him. He deceives him. Pay attention to this word. Deception. Set deceives Aussar, invites him to a party, and then in the middle of the party, he managed to get him into a wooden chest. He cut him into 14 different pieces. He killed his brother. Brutal. And Aussar was the king. Set, he set himself as the king. You replace the original king. So you replace the original. You replace the original king, he installed himself. And before, when Aussar was the king, he was beautiful. He was peace. He was harmony. He was great, great, great happiness. Agriculture. Everyone loved one another. The weather was beautiful. Years of prosperity. When Set became king, darkness fell upon earth. Strife, disease, poverty, wars, conflict. Set brought darkness into the world, darkness. Here. We are looking in this story on an individual level. We're going to look into on a collective level. The darkness, the disease, the suffering ended when Heru confronted Seth. Because Aussar, she trained her child to become a hero, to become a warrior. This is a message for every black man and a black woman, is to train children, to train themselves to become heroes, to become a warrior, because there is a war between good and evil. So what we have on an individual level, we have Set and Aussar. On a collective level, we have the African people and non-African people. And this will take us to the matrix, because when Set became king, the matrix came into play. It was an age of deception. You have someone who's not supposed to be a king. He plays himself as the king. He deceives the population and he rules them through suffering and disease and wars and violence. If you look at the world today, that's exactly what's happening. But then we have moved from an individual level to a collective level. On a collective level, we have the people of Kemet. The people of Kemet, they brought peace. They brought joy. They brought the golden days. Golden. The people of Kemet, African people, black people, they brought the world into the world of light, into the world of consciousness. They created intelligence, psychology, mathematics, medicine, architecture, music. They created beauty. And then one day, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Arabs, the Romans, so the Europeans, the Asians, the Arabs, they attacked the original people. They stole the culture of the original people. So Seth comes and steals the culture, the wisdom, and then goes out and he presented himself as the creator of the original knowledge. So you get new religions, which then replace the golden days of the human race. So the African civilization is then replaced by an artificial civilization, and this is the Matrix. This is how you understand the Matrix. If you study history from an European or Arab university, you will told that the knowledge starts in Greece, that the Greeks are the inventors of knowledge. But that's an artificial reality. If you go to Oxford University, Harvard University, Princeton University, you are told that the black people are savages. They invented nothing. That's the Matrix. So this is how you understand the Matrix. Is the story of Osset and Osar. Osar kills, Seth kills the real king. He places himself on the throne. You have Hollywood playing that role. You have the education. You have the media. Deception. You had Adolf Hitler and Goebbels. They use deception. You look at the world today, you will see that there is a campaign, a global campaign to silence, to destroy the history of black people. That's it. Because the world today is in deep, deep troubles. The people who are ruling the world today, they have the mentality of Seth, deception, war, violence, death. But you can only understand what's happening today and the Matrix.
And we'll just pause there right there. And he is so on point with that. The world of today, deception, Seth, always wanting to go to war, being bellicose in all actions. Oh, let's go raid this country and let's do this and let's bring them democracy and cause war and destruction. We'll be right back. And
you are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Hotep, African sisters, African brothers, which is Osar, and the real and the artificial king, which is Osset. This is on an individual level. On a collective level, on a group level, the African black people of Kemet and the gods of Egypt and all these Bibles and all these religions, they are a reflection, not even a reflection, they are a they're trying to replace the real thing, the knowledge, the deep knowledge. And that's the Matrix. Because when you replace Osar with Seth, you get the Matrix. So the real world today is the Matrix. We have moved from the golden age of the human race, the golden age of creation, of peace and harmony and understanding, to the world of...
Okay, I just want to pause there. We're back here at the Lotus Place. You can call in 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound and press star 61 if you'd like to share a comment. And we'd like for you to go on to the Black Talk Radio Network page and donate. Click the donate button so that we can keep bringing you this live information and sharing the wisdom with you. We have so many awesome programs here on the Black Talk Radio Network, including the Lotus Place, but there's so many others that we would love for you to tune in and listen to all day, even sometimes music. So just call in, share your thoughts with us, and also click that donation button and submit your donation. We have to support each other. You are tuned in as we are listening to a brother with the Afro-Conscious webpage. Love his videos. There's also, he has his YouTube page as well as a web page where, his whole team, they offer all types of services in terms of building a web page, just helping you get out of this slave mentality, I would say. And that's what this video is, actually referencing, how to understand the Matrix. I have this aunt and she used to always say, I am not in the Matrix. I am not in the Matrix. Do not talk to me about that stuff, or don't do me like that, or don't come to me with that. I am not in the Matrix. And we thought it was just really cute and funny at the time. But the more I was around her, I began to understand that she was disconnected from the foolery and the foolishness that so many of us are connected to. She was connected to the source. She was connected to her intelligence, to her divine being, her true essence. She was not of all of this, what people would call, I guess, like secular thoughts, or just connected to a lot of nonsense in the world. She was on a whole nother spiritual and intellectual level and path. And I tell you, one of my favorite movies is the Matrix movie. I was able to see so much in that movie. As many times as I've seen it, I'm always just enlightened by different scenes. The very first Matrix movie was, like, of course, the best to me. It just made me realize, like, the power that we really have inside of us when you do disconnect from all the nonsense. So let's pick back up on this video, and if you have some thoughts or comments, just press *61, and we'll get you in.
Terrorism. The people who claim to fight terrorism, they also create terrorism. So governments, they come together, they create a group, and then they use the media to portray the group as the terrorist group. They sponsor, they pay, they train people to behave like the terrorists. They use Hollywood to record ISIS videos of beheadings, and then they feed them into the masses. That's the Matrix. So Seth is stronger today, and in there is a need for heroes. There will be black heroes, there will be white heroes, there will be Chinese heroes, there will be Arab heroes. Among that group of people who are controlled by Seth, there will be heroes who will come forward to fight evil, writing books, making films, developing. There are filmmakers in the United States, Michael Moore, who fight evil using films. There are writers. So it's not just black people, but then there is a need, because the black people are the collective, are the majority. They are the original heroes. They need to wake up in order to fight the Matrix. So to understand the Matrix, you go back to Africa and you understand the relationships between two brothers, Seth and Osset. Seth killed his brother. He replaced his brother. He placed himself as the king. If you look at the world today, you have artificial monarchies. You look that something is wrong with them, because the countries are dying in poverty. If you go to Spain, there is huge poverty. Then you have a small group of people who play the king and queen. If you come to England, there is a huge poverty. If you go to Arab countries, there is huge poverty. But then you have the kings and queens. And they said, how come a small minority is so rich and the majority is so poor? It's because the majority is kept into the Matrix. Is an artificial world, the world of deception. For you, my brothers and sisters, to get out of the Matrix, you need to strive to be a hero, the Heru, because Seth was defeated by Heru, the son of Osset and Osar, and that's how the world was restored. The peace was restored in Kemet. But then Seth returned to Kemet, and then Kemet was conquered again by different Seth, because Seth is an individual. We can look at Seth on an individual level. We can look at Seth on a collective level. If you look at the behavior of the Belgian people in Congo, they killed 10 million Africans. If you look at the behavior of the British people in Africa, they set up the concentration camps. If you look at the behavior of American white supremacists, who boys and black women, you can see the behavior of Seth, because Seth represents the darker side of the mind. You have the hero and you have the shadow. What you see today is the shadow. You don't see the real hero. You need to step out and stop worshiping the shadow. You become the hero when you stop worshiping the shadow. The Matrix is the shadow. So this is how you understand the Matrix. It's not just what's happening in television. There is religion, there is economics, there is education, there is propaganda, there are magazines, there are TV channels, there are courts, there are international laws, there are sport events, there is entertainment, there is not just one single element. You need to look into the whole element in order to understand the Matrix. because Seth and Dausar are eternal human beings, are eternal elements. Our ancestors were very, very powerful people. Our ancestors were very, very intelligent people. They were prophetic. And then in order to tell us what's going to happen in the future, they created writing. They invented writing. They invented monuments. They wrote in walls. And we need to understand the concept, not just the reading for the sake of reading, the Medunecha, the wolves. Each character in Kemet plays a fundamental role. Seth represents evil, and then you can see the behavior of Seth today. Ausar represents goodness. Auset represents beauty and harmony. Mahat represents balance and justice. The concepts of Kemet have been stolen and then have been replaced by hatred and violence and racism. That's Seth controlling the Matrix. The Matrix is controlled by Seth. The task of every human being, because every human being, black men, they are the children of Auset and Ausar. They are the heroes. The hero has to wake. And that's why you talk about awakening our brothers and sisters, because they're sleeping. They're snoring in front of television. Big, fatty belly, junk food, snoring in front of television. Wake up, brother. All the education they gave you is artificial. It's Seth. You have been educated by Seth. Now you have to go back into African culture, African scholars. They are the hero. They are the Ausar. My brothers, my sisters, they are the Ausar who will help you to get out of the Matrix. My brothers, my sisters, I'm very grateful for you. Please leave your comments. I'll do my best to reply. Hotep, African sisters. Hotep, African brothers. Hotep, African family. Hotep, African family. Welcome to this lesson dedicated to Matrix. How to get out of the Matrix. Before I start this interesting lesson about the Matrix, how to get out of the Matrix, I'll ask our ancestors to give me the permission to deliver this lesson to my brothers and sisters. Duane Chiru. What is the Matrix? How do you get into the Matrix? How do you get out of the Matrix? The Matrix, my brothers and sisters, is a prison. It's a prison built through lies, deception. It's an artificial world. But if you want to Google the Matrix, you will find links to a film. The film, The Matrix, is a book, comes from a book written by a black woman. And here we have a black woman. A black woman leads us to Africa. Sophia Stewart. She wrote a book called The Third Eye, and then she presented the book to two Jewish brothers who own film studios. They said they didn't want the film. They said they were not interested. They did, however, keep a copy of the script. Years later, the film appeared in the cinemas around the world, and they made billions. They stole the work of a black woman. They stole the idea of a black woman. And they didn't even give her a single penny. She went to court and then she won because she's the original creator of the idea. The book by Sophia Stewart is called The Third Eye. So The Matrix, a black woman, every black person in the world is from Africa. The descendants of the person are from Africa, so the person is African. The third eye. So the Matrix, Sophia Stewart, African black woman, beautiful black woman, the third eye. This is where you find what the Matrix really means. Whenever you have a question, whenever you want to find a solution for a problem, you don't waste your time looking into non-African writings or non-African people. They will deceive you. If you want to find a solution for a specific problem, you go back to Africa. You go, in this case, you go to Kemet. Kemet will help you to understand what the matrix is, because you're trying to get out of the matrix. In order to get out of the matrix, you need to understand what the matrix is, where the matrix comes from. You need always to seek the origins of things. And then we go into Kemet. In Kemet, we were told by our ancestors that Atum had two children, Shu and Tefnut, in the sea on the universe of darkness. Shu and Tefnut, they went playing, and then they got lost. They got detached from the original source, the creator. In order to find them, Atum took one of his eyes, and then he threw into the darkness, looking for the children, Shu and Tefnut. He found the children, he brought them back to Atum. This is the original story of creation. When the eye returned to Tefnut, he found that there was another eye that has been replaced. So Tefnut had two eyes again. So we have the third eye here. Atum here, an African element of the nature. The Europeans will call God, but it comes from Medu nature. It's part of the nature. So Atum, he found himself with three eyes. He didn't destroy the eye. He kept it and became the guardian. It became the third eye. You can also find these elements in the pineal gland. Is a third eye. So the third eye became the eye of Heru here. So this is where the element of the matrix or the third eye comes from. It's the eye of Atum. Then it became the eye of Heru. Heru is the hero, is where the word hero comes from. Now, if we look into the film, The Matrix, the main characters of the film are black people. The hero is a white boy. It's because the people in Hollywood, they hate black people. They didn't want a black hero. So they found Keanu Reeves to play the main character. But the hero, in this case, is a normal human being who has a job. But then he's contacted by people from outside, people who have access to high-level consciousness, black people. They tell him that he needs to get out. They give him instructions to get out of the matrix. Now, if you look at the history of Keanu Reeves in the hero, if you look at the character and the behavior of the hero in the matrix, he has a job, he has everything, looks fine, but he feels that something is wrong. He feels that something is wrong. He can see the reality that something is just not in the place. But he's a geek, and then he learns. He gets access to new ideas, to new consciousness. So black people here, black African people, they give him access to consciousness. And then high-level consciousness enables him to become a hero. Do you see the connection? African, African culture, African thinking, African consciousness enables the person to become a hero. He was a white man, and then he lives in a world of white people. Everything was fine, apparently. But it was not fine. If you look deeply, you will find very disturbing things. Because the matrix is an artificial reality. We can start with Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian is a prostitute. She makes porn films. But she makes more money than teachers. She makes more money than people who work very hard. The matrix is made of corporations. They use religion. They use the media. They use education. So they use education to create an artificial world, a world that doesn't exist on a physical level. But then, of course, then they can use the media, they can use television, they can use magazines, they can use films to sell the idea that a porn star is a wonderful person, is a star. You have Tony Blair and George Bush, they went to Iraq, they destroyed the country. There was no investigation. They didn't go to prison. Nobody was involved. In 2014, the State of Israel went to Palestine and then destroyed the entire place. They destroyed an entire country. They killed more than 2,000 children. There is no investigation. There is no war crimes. The son of the Queen of England, called Prince Andrew, he abused an American girl. So child abuse, there was no investigation. There is nobody talking about it. The media doesn't touch it. The Vatican has been abusing children for more than 1,000 years. The Vatican, they have their own bank. They have their own TV channel. They have their own government. They have their own country. There is no investigation. Why? It's because the people who commit high-level crimes, they are part of the matrix. They are involved in the matrix. The matrix is made of corporations, institutions. It's mainly white supremacy. And then they use their power, their financial power, their technological power, their intellectual power in order to control the masses. So you have a minority of people who control billions of people using deception, using television, using education, using the economy. So you have in this story of the film, a guy who works for a company. He's told what to do in the company, and then everything is fine as long as he plays the game, as long as he follows. But then as soon as he starts to discover new things, to raise the level of consciousness, he is no longer welcome. Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, they were killed by police. There was no prison. Nothing happens. Chinese people, they are not shot. Arab people, they are not shot. Jewish people, they are not shot. Why? Because they're very close to the matrix. So Chinese people, they control the debt of the United States. They control the money. All the economy in the United States will go to ground if the Chinese people decided to stop it. If Chinese people decided to stop making products in China and sell them to the United States, the economy will go. The debt of the United States is owned by Chinese people. So the police is instructed not to kill Chinese people. Jewish people, they control the media, they control the banks, they control the politics. The police is trained and told not to kill Jewish people. Arab people, they control the oil. Police are told to not kill Arabs. Black people, they don't control a single thing. They don't control the economy because they spend all the money. They enjoy themselves with hip-hop and buying things which belongs to non-black people. Therefore, they're an easy target. Why? Because they don't control the matrix. Because the matrix is made of economics, religion, assets. It is a huge machine that makes deception. A wonderful, intelligent man like Keanu Reeves go to work. He has a job that pays him a salary, a mandatory job. He has debt. He has the Coca-Cola. He has the junk food. He has the religion. He has the television to distract him. He has the events. All these elements are of the matrix. To get out of the matrix, you need to have the dream to fulfill your potential. You need to raise the level of consciousness. Because if you go to Africa, you have the Vatican, a group of racists and child abusers who tell Africans that they have a book which was delivered by God. But they are child abusers. They are racists. They have their own bank. They use deception. Matrix is an artificial world. Blacks, non-blacks, white people, all many, many people, billions of people are into the matrix. A key strategy, if you want to get out of the matrix, is entrepreneurship. If you strive to become an entrepreneur, you will be forced to think differently. You will be forced to learn new strategies, new ideas, to accept personal development, to transform yourself. And this is here we can help you. If you are interested in getting out of the matrix, debt, ignorance, stupidity, sickness, if you want to be healthy mentally and physically, if you want to be confident, if you want to be strong, if you want to have your own business, if you want to protect your children from poverty, if you want to have financial assets, go to www.afromindset.com. Afromindset.com. We have created an academy that will enable you to learn new skills. Entrepreneurship, psychology, relationship, food. You will be able to learn how to reinvent yourself, how to believe in yourself, how to love yourself. The website contains courses that will enable you to educate your children, will enable you to create your own business, will enable you to become the master of your own destiny, and you get out of the matrix. Because the matrix works on a 24-hour basis. They use deception. You have people making films about Kemet and said, gods of Egypt, they're all white. That's part of the matrix, because the people who don't know the real history, they will fall into the deception. They'll buy the DVDs, they will go to the cinema, they will go into all these stadiums, into the Olympic Games, they will celebrate, they will addict to football, addict to entertainment, so they're used as numbers. They waste their lives helping someone else to realize the plan. They're not living their lives. If you want to live your life, if you want to fulfill your potential, if you want to find your mission in life, if you want to live a meaningful life, I advise you to go to www.afromindset.com. You will learn how to become an entrepreneur, how to create a YouTube business, how to eat healthy, how to use an alkaline diet, how to believe in yourself, how to create a charity, how to create a sustainable business, how to become a millionaire, how to become a billionaire. We are creating content, educational content, to help you to get out of the matrix. My brothers, my sisters, I'm very grateful for your time, and I'll be very pleased to see you in the Afro Mindset. You can learn new skills, you can change your life, and you can change the lives of your friends and your relatives. You can get out of the matrix. Keanu Reeves became a hero after he got out of the matrix. He didn't become a hero while he was in the matrix. You find politicians, you find actors, you find the professionals, they're trying to become successful inside the matrix. It doesn't work. Barack Obama is part of the matrix. Hollywood actors are part of the matrix. Journalists are slaves of the matrix. You can get out of the matrix. You can clear your debt. You can become confident. I hope to see you, and I'm very grateful for your time. Please leave your comments. I'll do my best to reply. I'll be very pleased to learn from you and to hear your voice, and I'll do my best to reply to your comments. Hotep, African family.
And that was how to get out of the matrix. Get out of it. You can get your mind together, create your own business, create your own website. Entrepreneurship, that is the key. Creating something to leave for your, not just for yourself, but create a legacy, I would say. Welcome in, Mother Hattie, how are you doing?
Hi, great. That was so interesting.
Yeah, that's this brother that I found on YouTube, and I tell you, I can just, like, put him on autoplay. I mean, he has some words for you, getting your life together, getting out of debt. I'm going to play this one before we leave, probably, on, I think this is a very important one, getting out of debt. And actually, I have part two, because in part two, he speaks of what he's saying. He references part one. And basically, what he's saying in part one is something that you say too, Mother Hattie, just stop consuming so much. Just cut back on all the unnecessary spending. And that's what he's saying. The way to get out of debt, stop spending and start creating. Simple as that. Simple as that. Stop spending, start creating. I say, hey, I mean, that sounds like pretty easy to do. I mean, maybe easier than said for some, but, you know, I think that we all have some gifts that we come here with. We're blessed with some type of gifts, able to do something that is supposed to be able to sustain us. Some people can jump high, play basketball, some can swing a golf club, some can hit a tennis ball. Some can sing, dance, write, act, sew, play a piano, teach dogs. I mean, whatever it is, we all have some type of gift that we have been gifted with that we are to utilize. That's my philosophy. That's my philosophy. We have special talents. And school is a place, I think, where as teachers are there to kind of like pull that out, like pull that, find that special gift and nurture that gift, like educe, just nurture that student around that gift. So those are my thoughts on it. So private school, public school versus charter schools, what are your thoughts? We want to hear from you. Do you think you would have been better off at a public school or a private school or charter school or maybe even homeschooling? What do you think? What do you think, Mother Haddish, would, if you could do it all over again for you?
What thing that somebody says any school will do if you're black? Okay. Except homeschooling, that's a different perspective, and you're going to come up with something different there. But other than that, any school will do if you're black in America, because you're going to get an education that is for black people. And I don't care what school you go into, they're going to find a way to separate you unless you're willing to succumb to this white male power system that exists. You're going to be relegated to stay in your place and in your position. So when you send our children into any school, USA, public, private, or charter, there's this relegation of your position in life. And this man explained it so well there when he talked about Chinese people, Jewish people, and black people, and white people. And that's the whole critical piece of it.
Absolutely.
Unless you are also augmenting your child's education in the home, which we all should be doing.
Yes.
And if you're not doing that, shame on you. I'm so sorry.
Ooh,
if they're in anybody's school other than your home school.
Oh, I know. My mom would make me, she would assign books to me to read. And, but I always have enjoyed reading. So I used to come home and read to my parents when I was.
I thought you were going to say you read to your toys, your teddy bears, and your dolls.
I read to them too.
Okay.
I read to my little teddy bears. I was crazy about my little teddy bear, honey. Oh, my God. Feather, you have a comment?
Yes, I do. Namaste.
Namaste.
How are you doing? I say hi.
Hi. I'm good. Getting better. You see my voice is coming back.
Yeah. I see it's coming back around.
Yeah.
I just enjoy this guy so much. I just got to turned on the TV show. And I love the way he always refers everything back to Africa, no matter what the question is. Let's go back to Africa. Rather than asking the people who oppress and enslave and continually hate you, asking them, going to their books, going to their references, and trying to find an answer to our black question. It's not going to happen truthfully. And I just love the way he just refers. He takes you back. He walks you through it. And I love the way that he gives the black woman so much credit for the civilization. And he compacts a lot of information. Just a few short minutes on each of his videos. And I just think that we need to spread the word about him, about learning, and this website that he has. He's not trying to get any money. You know, he's not trying to sift you for any money. He's just doing what he does to help people, to bring us into the light, make us more aware, more conscious, because with consciousness, we will flip this script that we design ourselves in as black people. And I wanted to also comment on the part about education. Fortunately for myself, I went to school with people who looked like me, people who taught me, looked like me, and it's comfortable. It was comfortable for me that way, and my daughter as well. I'm not saying I would not have liked. I don't think I would. I'll just be honest. I don't think I would have liked it to be a grown woman next to the Caucasian. Because in my era of growing up, we didn't mingle with them. You know, we didn't play with them, excuse me. And we actually felt their negative energy, that they didn't like us and didn't want to be around us and didn't think much of us. And so, why should we have to sit next to them, you know, in school, you know, and be trained by the people who didn't look like us and who didn't like us. So I am glad that I went to school the way I did, and I'm glad that my daughter had the opportunity to go to school, a public school, the way she did. And I did have the opportunity to go to a public school that was supposed to be better and teach you better and stuff like that, had better courses. But she convinced me to be very persuasive. She convinced me to send her to another school that was very popular. And I mean, she aced the classes, you know. But it was a black school, it was a public school as well. So those are my thoughts. I think that once the schools became integrated, I think if we could have just gotten the book, the proper book, and the equipment that we need, and continue to educate our own children rather than trying to mix and mingle and all of that, we would have gone to another direction. But once we mixed and mingled, and the black teachers, especially black men, teaching these white children and disciplining them, scolding them, you know, raising their voices at them, these white parents were not going to have it. This is no, you still believe me. How dare you discipline my child, and my child is better than you, kind of thing. And then that's when everything just kind of went down. No more discipline. You know, let the children run wild, don't touch my child, and the child can do anything. And that's just how it happened. So that are my feelings at my age. And charter schools, let me just add all this talk about charter schools being better, like you said before, Black Rose, all that's put out in the papers and the news is not true. They use different scales to measure the improvement of the learning for these children. Because they want the public to be sold on it. There are a lot of charter schools that are not doing any better for these children than the public schools. And some, they have the research and scientists doing actually worse than the charter schools. Yet they're getting government money.
That's the whole key. As long as the money is still flowing, it really doesn't matter much. In some cases, with some of these charter schools, and that's quite unfortunate. That's why I have to go back to the augmenting, as Mother Hattie spoke of, augmenting the school teaching, the daytime school teaching with some homeschooling and some history, things like, really, really working with our children. a culture, life, how to buy a house, how to not be in debt, how to start preparing for college at an early age, things like that, how to start saving, how to know, how to select your career, how to build a house. I mean, teach them how to buy a house, how to buy a car, things like that. That, you know, we go to school for 12 years and still don't, when you graduate, you don't know how to buy a house.
Yeah.
Or what's finance charges? Some schools. In some schools. So. Absolutely. Things like that. Let me see. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think those were some really great points. What do you think about what he said about, like, getting out of the matrix?
Oh, yeah. I like his response on getting out of the matrix because it just makes sense to, first of all, recognize the fact that it is the matrix. Recognize the fact that it's all a lie. It's all, you know, make believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's all what they're presenting you, and it's all what they want you to see. So you gotta kind of snap out of it, realize that the things that are being presented to you and why they're being presented to you that way, what is doing to you. And just look at ourselves where we are and just see how it's going, how we're just like, you know, going a little line, following the orders. Just snap out of it. Like you said, wake up.
Wake up and come out of it. Absolutely. Let me welcome in Delta. Delta, you can come off of mute. I put you back on mute because I think I could hear your TV.
Hey, how everybody doing?
How are you doing down there in Mississippi? I'm not going to call it the great state of Mississippi anymore with that old LGBT and religious whatever stuff you guys have going on down there.
They were shaking a lot of black booties this weekend. Because weekend we had Black Beach.
Oh.
And we had over 25,000 black college students come in town.
All right.
And
really?
The businesses said they have spent a lot of money.
Of course they did. Yeah, of course they did.
So that's a great shout out right there. But you know what? I come in late and I don't really know what y'all talking about too much, but I had something I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if y'all saw the video. I heard y'all talking about teaching, but I sent everybody the video of where the teacher in your state, Texas, slapping this little black boy. Did you get it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's what I was calling you for today. I really wanted to talk about that. And you can pull it up. The teacher had been arrested, but they didn't fire her. See, you can't do things anymore. And it's a warning to anybody. You do not know who's looking. This little black boy was beaten. He was slapped 5 times across his face, across his back, but the majority of them was in his face. By a white teacher. The teacher said she hit the boy because the boy was talking out in the class. But if y'all saw, you could pull that video up. I posted it on your Facebook page. That if a black teacher would hit a white student like this, she would have been arrested and wouldn't have had that low bond. They wouldn't even been able to hardly get out. She had a $2,500 bond, and they charged her with simple assault. She should have been charged with a felony the way she hit this child. And I'm not saying the child wasn't wrong for talking out, but you know how kids clown around. They say he was clowning around and talking out. And the teacher got so upset, she slapped him and hit him across his back, his head, his neck, 5 times. Then she, after she got through, she stood up and she mocked him. And it's been all on CNN. It's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. That's why I sent it, because I wanted everybody to see it and talk about this. You cannot get, they are getting away with the way they are doing these black kids. They are getting away with doing the black kids and the Hispanic kids. And well, for and her to hit.
That's why I think that the people need to consider, that's why we had a question, public schools, private schools, charter schools, or homeschooling.
But a lot of the people don't have money for private schools.
And well, what about homeschool?
I think this is where it falls.
Wait a minute, hold on. I gotta go back. Now, you just said that those children came there to Black Beach, and the businesses said they did what? Spent a lot of money. Now, that's one thing that we do, and I don't have time. I would play this video. Well, no, I do. I need to play this video. That's what this man speaks about, us being consumers and not producers. We spend so much money. And so, I mean, I don't know. I understand in a sense that it's difficult for some parents to be able to send their children to private schools, but they do have private school vouchers. And then we can also homeschool. So, I mean, what do you think about homeschooling? I mean, because we keep talking about what these teachers are doing. I mentioned how this resource officer body slammed this little girl in San Antonio this week, threw her down, face down on the ground, and handcuffed her.
And this one happened in Texas, too, the one I'm telling you about. This one happened in Texas, too, a teacher in Texas. And now, it's okay to homeschool. I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're equipped to do it. But what mm-hmm. I'm saying is, I agree with homeschooling, and we are guilty. Now, I think some people who want to really send their kids, some of them probably don't have the money, and some of them do have the money, but some of them mm-hmm. choose to do other things. Some of them
enroll your child in a public school, then you got to kind of suffer those mm-hmm. consequences unless you're ready to get up and go change some policy.
Mm-hmm. On the line, I see her beeping in, and I can't answer.
I think she unmuted me. I was just trying to figure if I was having technical difficulty or not on the phone.
Yeah, hello?
Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, Kimby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was trying to, I saw the video. Thank you, Delta, for that most shocking
video. Yes, I always try to send it to everybody.
Yes. I feel that the tragedy
talk about that video, because it's horrible.
Yes, the tragedy is that our people have been so anesthetized where we take it as a normal activity, and then we are supposed to just roll over and play dead. You have mm-hmm. no litigation being carried out by the NAACP, which one of both of being the oldest black organization, but their record says they have been found wanting. You have our black pastors who are taking the people's money, got them jumping and hooping and hollering, and he's hooping and hollering, and he's leading the chorus line, but he does nothing for social justice. So our children are our future. If you don't give a darn about these children, because these pastors don't send their children to these schools that are dysfunctional teachers that hate the children. These children are going to private schools or the best of public schools, but they're not going to those schools that are with dysfunctional teachers. I said in the commentary, did you see my commentary, Delta? I said, imagine a black teacher beating a white child that way. There would be, the teacher would be given a choice of rope, cotton, or silk. But the teacher would not be telling the story the following day. White folks ain't having it. Reason given, white folks believe in natural law. That's why they are coming to Trump like the Pied Piper, because he knows that he's speaking in codes, but he's speaking as a white nationalist. He's speaking in legalese and military science. White folks cling to that kind of talk. And they feel that this rich, filthy rich white man is going to take care of their filthy white ass. They are so sure this man's going to make life better for them. Like the white people in Germany were so sure that this crazy would-be artist who was able to con a whole nation named Adolf Hitler was going to bring them the victory with his Mein Kampf beliefs. And Germany has never recovered from that nonsense. So what we have is black people have been so conditioned, psychologically conditioned, that they accept these kind of brutalities as a norm. This teacher supposed to be blocked from going into the building by the parents, should be given a serious understanding that she's done. She is done. Because see, if the black parents don't make an example out of this teacher, it's going to happen again and again and again.
Yes, because that, I mean, she was so blatant with it.
Oh, yeah, with all her might. She hit that boy with all her might. She couldn't care less that this was a child. And, then
if we do that, we'll be in jail.
No, you'll be dead. They would give you a choice of cotton or rope, cotton or silk. You would be dead. They would hang you. That teacher was beating that boy with all her might. Imagine a black woman or a black man, for that matter, beating on a white child with all his or her might. It ain't happening. Why?
Right. Now, I agree with you on that.
Black teachers know better. Black teachers know better. But white teachers are under the illusion that black people are subhuman and you can do to them whatever you want. Because there's no penalty to pay. There's no penalty to pay if you abuse a black child.
All those black parents should take their children out of that school.
Thank you.
We should stand up for our children.
Thank you. But see, we are so conditioned, we will make believe it's nothing unusual and that it is to be considered, well, maybe he got her on her bad foot and maybe on her bad side. And maybe he should have behaved. You know, we're going to make excuses for atrocities against our children.
And look at the message that is sending to the children.
Oh, that boy will be psychologically traumatized for life.
I don't mean that boy. I mean the children. Oh,
yeah. Well, yeah. They'll be traumatized.
Because they see this.
They'll be traumatized for life.
All see how the black people are standing up for them. Not
yeah.
Up to them.
Yeah, they
that's
should
right.
have a
where did this happen at?
In Texas, some city.
I know it was in Texas. I know what part of Texas was it. And the reason I'm asking is because there is a law that says not only can you do a child like that, if you feel like a child, I don't know how old the child was because I didn't see the video yet. There's a law they passed. They were saying that teachers in Texas can now carry guns and they can kill a child just like a cop can kill a person.
So the young man looked like he was no more than about
he was no more than about 14. Well, what city do we know, like what city in Texas and what school?
No.
Mm-mm.
Hey, make no difference. It was in Texas, a southern town.
You know what? I can't get over it. I cannot get over this thing called a southern town that you guys want to do. These things happen all over the USA, all over the world. And I just can't understand why people, that's just propaganda. It's just propaganda. It'll happen right here in Minneapolis, and nothing will get done about it. Just like when they murder black people on the police department, and nothing will be done about it. It's anywhere USA, especially South. That just really irritates me, and I'm sorry to go that way, but it just really bothers me. Hold up. Hey, just like it happened in New York with Eric Garner.
Right.
These things are happening everywhere. They have always happened everywhere. And the South ain't no different than the North, East, and the West.
Arizona's case is screwed up because Sharpton was involved. And when Sharpton gets involved, rest assured, there will be no justice.
It doesn't make any whether he gets involved or not. I'm sorry.
Well, yes, it does, because he is the one that poisoned the waters where black people do not have the desire to, shall we say, overlap him. So far, he's never been overlapped. By the right, he's overdue for being chased out of Harlem. But so far, every Saturday, he holds rallies, and nothing is happening in that vicinity where Action Network is located. There are no stores. There are no affordable apartments. Nothing is happening, showing that the black community will have some future in Harlem. This man is a multimillionaire. He lives in Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor's neighborhood. Man has an expensive condo. What are we talking about? We have a man that has a record of running an industry with a lawyer. There used to be a Sanford Rubenstein. I know since Rubenstein was not indicted with raping that woman, I may be able to rejoin on another tactic. But they go for what can get most out of the case with a dead body. It may try, it please the Sharpton if there's a dead body.
Oh, God.
And the tragedy with our pastors, they are clueless, rendering them to be useless. Where are the social activist pastors in the pulpit? You can't find any in New York City.
You know what? I would say that that's a part of the structure of the United States of America, just like I'm saying when you talk about the South. It has, it may have something to do with Al Sharpton or not. It is the structure that is there. It is what is going on that's there. It is the structure. It is racism. And he doesn't control the racism. I know you want to have a person to blame, but I think it is the powers that be. It is institutionalized racism is what it is. And until we pinpoint that, and I'm not saying that some of us don't help it. Yeah, they do, but they really don't control it.
He is dispatched by the government to put the fire out before the fire gets out of control. It happened in Florida with that boy, Brown. I'm not Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin. Okay? It was clear in Trayvon Martin's case, Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Ben Jealous was not going to formulate economic boycott when Easter shopping was right around the corner. The first thing they said was...
What is the subject of education? Can I say one?
Yes.
When Elijah was talking about Aisha was talking about the education, this is one thing I wanted to share that I really agree with her too on. I grew up in a segregated system. Everybody back in the old days when I grew up, guess what grade they could read by? They could all read by first grade. Now, we didn't even have preschool back then. We had all black teachers. We went in all black schools. Children could read. I'm not saying it was because they were black. I'm not saying it was because the children were all black. But I can tell you one thing. I think it was because they cared and they knew how important it was. And we had no other choice. And we wanted to do it. And the family structure was such that you were going to value that. And so I want to say my statement when I said to you earlier about any school will do, that's nowadays. But in the old days, they did learn to read. Any inner city school taught their children to read when those black teachers were in there teaching them. Maybe that's why we had to have integration, so we could stop teaching these little old black children how to read.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. Well, we have come to our close of the show. I want to thank everybody for your intelligent comments and conversation, and we will be back here at the Lotus Place on Wednesday, so stay tuned. And don't forget, my birthday is Tuesday. I will be 22. Yes.
Yes, 22.
Yes.
22. Oh, my gosh. That's so wonderful.
No, okay. All right. We'll leave it at that.
Yes. And everybody pray for a successful move. I'm relocating, not out of Houston, just to another place. Pray for a successful
move. Oh.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Indeed.
Yes. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Peace, good night, namaste, blessings, and all of that.
Namaste. All right. Take care, y'all.
Take care.